say, as we dedicate little Michael Stephen to the Lord, we have not only the mother, proud mother here today, right here, but also glad to have the grandmother here visiting with us from Maryland. So I know that's a happy occasion for you, ma'am. Turn your Bibles, please, to Acts the 27th. Let's see, no grandmother, great-grandmother. Let me get this thing straight here. We're glad to have a mother here, too, there. Ah, shut up. You make mistakes, too. Mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. I'll get that right. Acts 27, verse 14. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. There had been a man of God on the boat praying during the storm, in touch with heaven. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee, he'd given them to Paul, God's man, for his sake, he'd given them all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Let's bow our heads, please, for ask God to bless his word to our hearts. Father, we thank you this morning for this privilege of coming back to God's house one more time this side of eternity. And Father, I pray that we'll this morning enjoy spiritual food from the Word of God, and may we enjoy the bread sent down from heaven, even the Lord Jesus Christ. May His presence be here this morning. May we feast on Him, not only on the written Word, but on the living Word, as the Spirit of Christ moves in our midst. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit of God, the dew of heaven, would be in our midst. We know that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And so we invite, we beg for thy divine blessing and presence upon this service. Bless our worship. May it be in spirit and in truth. And Lord, as the Word of God goes out, may it find lodging on good ground and bear eternal fruit, I pray today. Lord, help me. I can't preach, Lord, I confess, without your help. And would you give me liberty and help from above and that sweet anointing as I preach. Bless throughout these grounds, all of our children's churches, preschool departments, God, right now. And I pray that you will bless thy Word to all of our hearts today. Some here not saved, not right with thee. May this be the glad hour when the God of heaven speaks to their soul and they respond to that heavenly call and come down this aisle to Jesus and to salvation and to a closer walk with him. Get glory out of this service. May we please you today in our worship in Jesus' name. And Lord, defeat the devil and hindering spirits, we pray in his name. Amen. Now, Paul was in a terrible storm in the Mediterranean Sea for 14 days. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him with a message, Paul, don't worry, don't be afraid, fear not, everything's going to be okay. And Paul stood up in front of the passengers and the crew and said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And Paul said, don't fear. God's told me that everything's going to be okay. There'll no one lose their life. And so Paul was able to ride out the storm with no fear. Now the word fear has a number of meanings. It can be an unpleasant emotion that comes over us when we sense there's possible danger. Or it can be just a reasonable concern, a fear can. Or when used of in the religious realm, fear means a respect or reverence toward Almighty God. Now we all have fear. Some things you fear, I don't, but we all have to deal with fear, whether it's real or imagined. It can be imagined, but it can still be real, can't it? And when I think of our various reactions to fear, I think of my dogs down there. My biggest dog, old Smokey, is a scaredy cat. Somebody will come around the pen, a stranger, and he'll run all that pen just moaning and groaning and howling and scared to death. And the smallest dog, little Sparky, anybody comes around, he wants to jump up on him, wants them to pet him. So they each have different reaction. Fear is a variable thing. And so what bothers one of us may not bother the other one. But in the spiritual realm, I want to speak to you this morning on some things of which I'm not afraid. Now before I give you those, let me just give you some things that I am not afraid. Then I'll give you some things I'm afraid of. First of all, I'm glad to say that I'm not afraid to preach the Word of God. And a preacher has to be able to say, I'm going to be faithful to this book even if I get run off. Now, if a man doesn't say that, he can't be a man of God. Now, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's not my purpose to hurt anybody. But I've got to be willing to hurt people's feelings if preaching the Word of God doesn't. And so, when I come to the pulpit, I try to preach God's Word without fear or favor because I have a heavenly calling. And when I come here, there's one thing I think of, and that is to be faithful to the Word of God and to your souls. And then, also, I'm glad I can stand up here and say I'm not afraid to claim that I'm saved. You know, it's a good thing to be able to stand and claim that and say that I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I can say I'm not boasting. If I am boasting, it's boasting in Jesus, not in myself. And I didn't save myself, couldn't save myself. But I'm glad I'm saved, and Jesus saved me. Back there many years ago as a 13-year-old boy, I'm glad to be able to stand and say that. And I know you who have been born again, you're not afraid to say that either. But also, I'm not afraid to be called an independent Baptist. And I'm glad, I'm proud of it. I'm not proud of all independent Baptists. No group can be proud of everybody in their group. But I'm an independent Baptist, first of all, because independent means I am totally independent, not connected in any man-made organization. And I don't have to send any money to support any liberals anywhere. That's independent. I'm glad I can say that. No money goes from my pocket to support a liberal. And then independent Baptist means, when used in that context of independent Baptist, means I believe in the cardinal doctrines of the Bible that Baptists have historically believed down through the years. I am not a liberal. So that's what that. Then also, even though the word gets bad press among the liberal media, I'm not afraid to be called a fundamentalist. A true fundamentalist. And I know they try to lump old Khomeini and Jim Jones and all those type of characters in as fundamentalists. They're nuts, as far as I'm concerned. They're not fundamentalists, they're nuts. But a fundamentalist, and we who believe the Bible call ourselves fundamentalists, we call ourselves fundamentalists because we believe the book and all the great doctrines of the book. We believe it and are willing to stand for the book and for those doctrines. And I'm glad I can say in that context I am a fundamentalist. Then also, I've gone down to the river, I thought, a few times. And thought life was about over for me, a time or two. But I'm glad to say by God's grace, not by myself, but I'm glad to say by God's grace, when I got down to the river,
When I got there, I wasn't afraid to die. Now, I'm sort of like the little boy. The preacher said, how many want to go to heaven? Everybody stuck their hand up but one little boy. And he said, Johnny, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Oh, he said, preacher, he said, I thought you was getting up a load now. So I'm not wanting to get on the next load now, next wave, but Brother Mays says it. He said, we all say, oh, I'm just longing to see Jesus. We start getting a little pain. Everybody runs and grabs that stay here a little longer peeled, you know. But I don't believe a person is ready to live until they're ready to die. I don't believe you're ready to live. And I won't bother you by going through the details of that last February when I had my supposed heart problem, whatever it was there. I rejoiced that God saw me through. But when they put me on that table, the doctor said, now, when we go down there and put that dye in your arm, you could be allergic to the dye and get me that quick. And right before they put the dye in my heart, I scared dead when they told me I had a possible heart problem. Scared the liver out of me almost. But I'm glad to say that after praying and crying for God, right when I got up to that time, that God gave me His wonderful peace. And it's wonderful for God to give you that. And I thought, well, if anything happens to me, as right as it started down in my heart, I'll go to see Jesus before I get off this table. And I didn't want to leave this church and leave my wife and children, but it's wonderful to be able to say that. It's wonderful that God can, that there's such a thing as dying grace. I heard a preacher say that he got on an airplane and he was scared. Everybody screamed and crying and praying. It was in a storm. They thought that thing was going to go down. And he said, I was scared to death. And he said, I asked him, another preacher said, why was I scared? Afraid to die. He said, well, God knew you weren't going to die, and He didn't give you dying grace there. So I guess that may be it. But anyway, there are other things that I'm not afraid of, but let me give you, in the spiritual realm, some things of which I am afraid. Now, first of all, I'm afraid of sin. And if you have a thimbleful of intelligence, you too ought to fear sin. James 1:15 says, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And then Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sin, brother, God says, there's some reaping days ahead. And you and I ought to fear sin. You say, preacher, what is sin? The Bible says in 1 John 3:4, sin is a transgression of the law. So when we violate God's word and God's law, then we sin. Sin is a rebellion against God. When God says, don't do this, and we say, no, I will do it, that's sin. Or if He says, go this way, and we go that way, then it's sin. Now, I believe everything bad in this world can be laid at the doorstep of sin. Everything you know that's bad this morning, just chalk her up. It's a result of sin. These hurricanes and the earthquakes, it's been shaking this world the last few days. It's because of man's sin in the garden, and the curse is upon the very ground that you and I walk on this morning. There's a curse on this ground. It's heaving under the curse of God. It's on. And then every drug addict, every alcoholic in our society, they got in that state because they sinned against the Holy God. And the millions of abortions every year in America, 1.5 million abortions, many hundreds of thousands of illegitimate children born in America every year. Every one of those sins of abortion and illegitimacy is a direct result of the violation of God's word. When God says, first of all, thou shalt not commit adultery. And by the way, folks, that God hasn't changed His idea of premarital sex and extramarital sex. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then to the abortion crowd, God still says, thou shalt not kill. And we hear a lot about the homeless in our society, in our streets, in our major cities especially. But did you know that most of those homeless are there because of sin? It's been checked out. Most of them are there directly or indirectly because of sin. Sin will wreck your home. It'll wreck your life. It'll damn your soul. So you ought to be afraid of sin like you would be afraid of a rattlesnake and get away from it. Now, none of you have wings. That's more, I don't see any wings out there or halos around. My wife can testify that I don't have wings or halos. But you know what? You still better be afraid of sin. You had better run scared of sin. There's no winners in the game of sin. No winners. Everyone loses. The cards are stacked against you when you violate God's word and disobey God. And God will see to it that you don't get by with sin. He says, be sure your sins will find you out. Then, another thing that I'm afraid of, I'm afraid of robbing God of His glory. Isaiah 42:8, God says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. And boy, when we learn that as a Christian, it'll be a great day in our lives, that we ought to glorify Him. We ought to live for His glory, not for that I might reach in and steal the glory, but to Him be the glory. And it'd be a great day when we can just live for His glory. I'd like to live just 100% for God's glory. Every now and then your old flesh reaches in and wants to steal some of the glory that belongs to God. We need to live for the glory of God. And then Galatians 6:14, the Apostle Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Daniel 4, one day Nebuchadnezzar was walking around in his palace, and he's just looking around and thinking of the great empire he had and the beautiful palace that he was living in. He said to himself, he said, I've done all this by my power. And I've done all this for the honor of my majesty. And all of a sudden, as soon as he said that, while the words fell from his lips, the Bible says, a voice from heaven said, the kingdom is departed from thee. God spoke to that king. And immediately he went stark, raving mad, and they drove him out into the fields, and he ate grass like an oxen. His fingernails grew like bird's claws. And the Bible says, until he learned, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And he stayed there for 7 long years. And then God permitted, after he had taught Nebuchadnezzar a lesson, he put him back on the throne. But brother, in Daniel 4:37, he's singing a different tune. Now, listen to him now. Nebuchadnezzar 7 years later said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those, listen to this, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Everything we do in our lives, everything we do here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, folks, ought to be done for his glory. We ought to be zealous and jealous to give God the glory for everything that's done in our lives and here at this church. I want us to brag on Jesus here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Folks, let's just be a church, if you don't mind, that just brags on Jesus. I mean, when we, like the trio that sang this morning, I mean, when we get up here and sing, let's brag on, glad I'm a child of the King. I mean, just in our teaching, if you don't know what you know, a lot of times when I wonder what to preach on, I just preach on Jesus. Anything wrong with that? What is there? Just preaching on Jesus. So in our preaching, in our teaching, in our singing, in our worship, and all, when we run these buses all over this country, we ought to run them for Jesus and for His glory. And He alone is worthy, Worthy is the Lamb, the Word of God says. So, you know, when I look around these beautiful buildings and this big crowd, I don't want to stand up here and say, boy, look what I did. You know, the devil gets you thinking that sometimes. Or look what we as a church did. Or look what we are at this church. And that's a good way for the hand of God's blessing to get off of us. We better give Jesus the glory. We better say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for just using me. Lord, just help me just give you the glory. And I'm afraid that I might reach in and get some of the glory that belongs to God. And we better fear that, folks. We better give him the glory around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Then, also, I'm afraid that I will miss God's will for my life. In Romans 12:2, the Word of God says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we don't ever need to be afraid of God's will. God assures us in his word, it's good, his will. Whatever God's plan is for my life and yours is good. And it's acceptable. The devil will say, oh, well, these young people. God will say, well, if you surrender your life to the Lord, he'll make you be a missionary. You wind up in the jungles of Africa. Well, about 999 times out of 1,000, no, he won't. Or even more than that. But if it is his will to send you to the jungle, that's the best thing that could happen to your life. The best thing that could happen to you. So we don't have to be afraid of God's will. We need to be afraid of missing God's will. There is no success or happiness outside the will of God. And there's nothing but success in the will of God for our life. So, folks, every person in this building, every person can be a success if you will just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And find out what God wants you to do, whatever it is. Listen, if it's out digging a ditch for his glory, you're a success in the will of God out there. So let's find God's will and do God's will. I'm glad that I got in the will of God the night I got saved, because it's not his will that any should perish. And I got in his will. I'm glad as a 21-year-old college boy down in Mississippi, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, I got in the will of God there one midnight as I got on my knees and surrendered after fighting the call of God for 4 years to preach. I got in the will of God, surrendered to preach the gospel. I'm glad I got in the will of God up in Illinois. Lord led me up there to serve in Youth for Christ 4 years up there before I came here. And I'm glad I got in the will of God when I met Ellen Hetty Ebersole up in Illinois, and brought her back down here to Tennessee after she proposed to me, as I've already told you many times. And then I'm glad I got in the will of God up in Illinois, out there between two hills, out in the woods in Illinois there by a creek, I got in the will of God one morning. I was praying on whether trying to decide, was it God's will to come here as your pastor? Over 26 years ago. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go unless it's your will. You show me. You give me peace about it. And I'll never forget singing Unclouded Day out there by myself. And as I was singing, oh, they tell me of an unclouded day, or however it goes. And as I was singing it, God gave me peace in my heart about coming. Now I went back and called Brother Bill Hawk, who's on We're in Glory. Said, Brother Hawk, I'm coming. I believe it was Brother Hawk I called. I believe it was. And so for over a quarter of a century, I've been in the will of God. I'm convinced of my own soul as your pastor. And I consider it a privilege and a great honor to be the pastor of this great church and you wonderful people. And you know what? All while eternity rolls, I'll be grateful for the Lord, to the Lord, for this privilege of being your pastor. And you know, I've made many mistakes in my life, like everyone has to stand up here and confess. But isn't it wonderful how the Lord, when we want to do His will just like an old farmer out in the field, just He'll plow around the stump and just keep on going. When we want to do God's will, if we want to and we make a mistake, the Lord just plows around the stumps and keeps graciously blessing us. I'm glad of that. And I fear missing God's will. I fear getting out of God's will. And down deep in my heart, even though sometimes my flesh might lead me away, down deep in my heart, I want God's will for my life. I believe there's two keys to finding God's will. First of all, I believe the first key is a desire in your heart to do God's will, whatever it is. And then a desire to do it, and then a willingness to do it once you find it. If you're willing, if you'd say, Lord, I want your will, Lord, whatever it is, I'll do it. I believe you can find God's will. I believe you can find it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, the Word of God says. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And if you'll do that, He says, I'll direct your paths. So I fear missing God's will. Then another thing I fear as a preacher of the gospel, I'm afraid of giving sinners a false assurance of heaven when I come to this pulpit. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. So the Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I, Jesus said, profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I'm afraid of standing in this pulpit. And folks, I preach to people Sunday. Look at the crowd here. I preach to people Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I fear that after I preach to people, they'll have a false assurance and they'll drop into hell out of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to sit here Sunday after Sunday and think you're okay and die and be lost? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? And it's my responsibility to see that you don't have a false assurance of heaven and preach the gospel plain to you, that and make it plain that you're joining the church and your baptism and your church membership and your giving or anything else will get you to heaven. You got to get saved. You got to get born again. You got to know Christ. You got to receive Him and Him alone by faith, or you'll never make it to heaven. Romans 3:26, I love this verse. It's so wonderful. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just. And listen to this now. Listen to this. And the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. How does a man, a sinful man, get just in the sight of God? He's a justifier. God is the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Now, folks, you'll never get good enough to get to heaven by trying. People say, well, when I think I can live it, I'll get saved. You'll die and go to hell. Unless you're willing to come and kneel at an altar and say, Lord, there's no way that I can get saved unless you save me. In my hands no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And just say, Lord, I'm receiving you as my Savior. There's no other way. If you get to heaven, you're going to have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then also, I'm afraid of becoming a castaway. I'm afraid of becoming a castaway. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, Paul is not saying he's afraid that he'll lose his salvation. He's saying that after I've preached to others, that I might get out of the will of God and do something crazy or fall into sin and God could no longer use me and have to set me aside. And I'd become, get on the shelf, or I'd become a castaway. Never use me again. Now, Jim Baker is a sad case, isn't he? By the way, he deserved to go to prison. He deserved to go to prison. He conned his followers out of millions and millions of dollars and not only paid $250,000 to cover up an adulterous affair, but he spent millions, millions, and millions living lavishly off of money that should have gone into God's work. You know, I'm just thinking, I would sort of like to have his air-conditioned doghouse for all my dogs. That'd be a pretty good thing with my beagles. Old Sparky would like that. But you know, my heart goes, certainly he should have received prison time. He sold millions of dollars of rights to stay in those condominiums or hotels, and knowing that he was oversold, knowing that he could never fulfill, and then took the money and spent it. But my heart still goes out to him. He's just like we are. He is a person. He has feelings. And a man who had the top TV religious program now behind prison bars in disgrace. I mean, you have to, as a human being, even though I don't agree with his Pentecostal doctrine, my heart still goes out to him as a human being. Brother Joe Hayes told me this week about a preacher in Flint, Michigan. Brother Bob, I hadn't talked to you about it. I don't know if you know him or not. That he was saved out of a life of sin, built a fine church there in Flint, Michigan, had a great testimony, and I think the church run up to 800 or 900 or 1,000 in Sunday school. Brother Joe said that he was an outstanding preacher. He heard him preach down in Jacksonville, Florida, at the fundamental of the Baptist Bible Fellowship meeting, national meeting, preached on Calvary. And Brother Joe said there wasn't a dry in the house after he got through preaching on Calvary. But this man got hooked on diet pills, and then he got hooked on drugs through the diet pills. He resigned his church. He got out of the ministry. He became a castaway, and the man finally committed suicide. Isn't that sad? Folks, we all need to be careful. Every born-again believer here today needs to be careful. We can lay out, I hate to see you laying out of church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. That's a dangerous spiritual thing. We can lay out of church and we can quit reading the Bible. We can quit praying. We can get far from God. And before we know it, if we're not careful, the devil will throw us a curveball and we'll fall into sin. And then the Lord will have to put us on the shelf. He'll have to bypass us and not use us anymore. I'd rather go on to heaven right now as in the future fall into sin and hurt my testimony and hurt my Savior and hurt my wife and hurt my children and hurt this church. I fear being a castaway. And Paul did too, and you ought to too. Then one other thing. There's many other things I could mention, but I'm afraid of a coming judgment. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after death the judgment. Every person in this building has a coming judgment awaiting you on out there in the future. Now you say, preacher, if you're saved, what are you afraid of the judgment for? Well, when we get caught up in the rapture, we who are saved, and we get a new body, and see Jesus and all of our loved ones, you know what the first thing you're not people are going to say, well, boy, I'm going to shout down, hallelujah, what a bard. No, you're not. The first thing you're going to do is stand before the bema seat at the judgment seat of Christ. And there at the bema seat, every born-again believer, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give an account of the deeds done in this body. Now, I want that new body. I want to see my loved ones. I want to see Jesus. And I want to go to heaven. I do. But I have to be honest. I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. And you're crazy if you are. I want to live in such a way that all my works won't be burned up and I'll be saved so as by fire. I want to live such a way where I will have some rewards there. But brother, when my life is reviewed, I'm like you, if you're honest. There's some things that I'm not proud of in my life as a believer. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body." This is talking to the church now at Corinth. "That we may receive the things done in this body, his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." An unsaved friend, you won't be at the judgment seat of Christ. You will have to, when the Lord comes back, all of those who are alive and saved will be caught up. And those who are in the graves, when they died in the Lord, they'll be caught up at the same time and we'll be resurrected. We'll go up together to meet Jesus in the air. But the unsaved will be left behind, and the unsaved dead will remain in the grave until after the 1,000-year millennium, and then the heavens and the earth will flee away. And there'll be no place found for them. There'll be a great white throne out there in the sky somewhere. And Jesus will be the God sitting on that throne. And all the unsaved dead of all ages will be caught there before the throne. The books will be opened. The Lamb's Book of Life will be opened. And the Bible said, "And everyone whose names was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire." Unsaved friend, you ought to fear the judgment, the coming judgment. There's a great day coming, a great day coming, a great day coming by and by where the saints and the sinners will be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Are you ready this morning for that coming judgment? Christian, you ought to fear the judgment seat of Christ. I ought to fear that coming Bema seat when I'll stand and give an account as a believer for my life. Not see where I'm saved or not, but for my reward as a Christian. Well, to live in such a way that will not be ashamed when we stand before it. That's my desire. An unsaved friend, you ought to fear a coming judgment. And if you don't know Christ, you'll have to stand before God with no shelter for your never dying soul. Folks, let's fear God. Let's fear Him. Let's reverence Him and His Word and respect Him. And God will bless us. Are there those here today who would say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart today. And if I was to die right now, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven." Or maybe you are saved, but you say, "Preacher, I'm not in the will of God, and I need to do business with God here today." And there's a spiritual need in your life. And you will say, "Preacher, pray for me today." Whatever the need is, folks, let's fear God. Let's do business with the Holy God. We're here today to do business with God. If you need to do business with God, let's accomplish that business and take care of it before we leave here. Are those who say, "Preacher, there's a need, spiritual need in my life. Pray for me." All over the house, would you slip your hand up right now? Let me pray for you. Just slip that hand up and I'll remember the closing word of prayer. Just slip your hand right up. "Preacher, I'm not saved," or "Preacher, I'm a Christian and I need to rededicate my life," or "I need to make a complete surrender of my life to the will of God." Pray for me. Just slip your hand up right now and I'll remember the closing word of prayer. Just slip, yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just slip your hand right up. Anyone else, right quick? "Preacher, God spoke to my heart. Pray for me." Anyone else? Anyone else, right quick? I'll remember you. Let's do, God sees you today and God knows all about it. Let's do business. Let's make a move toward God today. Anyone else? Just slip your hand. Anyone else, right quick? Boy, girl, man, or woman, visiting friend, whoever it may be. Anyone, right quick, before we pray. Just slip your hand up and I'll remember you in a closing word of prayer. God's been dealing with you. "Preacher, pray for me." Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Father, we thank you today for this privilege of trying once again, one more time, Lord, to be faithful in proclaiming the Word of God. Lord, I've tried to preach the truth today. Lord, I do fear You, and I want to please You. And Lord, I'm sure every born-again believer wants to please the Lord, and they have that reverential fear, respect for holy God. Help us all, Lord, to fear Thee. And I pray for that man or woman, boy or girl without Christ. Lord, may they fear that coming judgment. Come to Jesus and be saved from the wrath which is to come. And that Christian, Lord, that's following afar off or out of the will of God, may they come and get in the will of God, rededicate their life, or join the church, whatever it is, as soon as the invitation's given. Holy Spirit, draw men and women, boys and girls down this aisle, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing 270. And if you need to come, the altar's open. You know, folks, Christians ought to come to the altar every now and then. When God speaks to your heart, I like to see every now and then Christians coming to the altar and doing business with God. And unsaved, the altar's open for you. I'll be standing here. We'd like to take God's word and show you how you can have assurance of heaven today. Would you like to know you're going to heaven? Let us show you out of God's word how you can know. Come on to Jesus. We'll help you today. If you want to join the church or whatever the decision is, if you want to just come and pray, come on. Let's stand and sing now. 270. Come on.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed.
Speaking to you. Need to come? Why don't you do it? Why don't you come over to the Lord? Give Him a chance in your life. As the choir sings the next verse, won't you come on to Jesus? If the Holy Spirit is wooing and speaking, if there's that desire down in your heart, just come on. As the choir sings the next verse. Choir's going to sing one more verse. If no one comes on this, we'll be through. Come on, as the choir sings one other verse. Appreciate your presence here today, and appreciate Mr. Howard Ford. Mr. Ford, you want to stand? Mr. Ford is coming in the fellowship of our church by letter from the Bethany Baptist Church. God bless you. Brother Ford, you may be seated. Appreciate having you. here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And then one of our bus girls, little Jessie Smith. Jessie, stand up. You're a fine girl. Do you know that? And you received Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Is that right? Amen. God bless you, honey. We're real happy for you. Amen. Amen. Is there a motion we receive, Mr. Ford, on request for membership? Motion made. Is there a second? All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Aye. Pose the same sign. And God bless you, Brother Ford. It's good to have you as a member here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And Jesse, God bless you, honey. Live for Jesus now. That's a wonderful thing. God will bless you if you will. Amen. Well, it is good to have everyone here this morning. Be back tonight. We'll continue in 1 Timothy 6 on, about verse 10, about 11, verses 11, 12, 13, somewhere along there. Or where I left off last Sunday night, I'll pick up tonight. And it's good to have you in the house of God today. Let's stand now and be dismissed with prayer. And now if you have a car in the back, two rows, please, if you have to hang around, go ahead and move it back somewhere else when we're dismissed. Because then if you ride a bus, go immediately back there so we can take the bus pictures of all the bus workers and bus riders back there.